Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Monday. Always coming in on Mondays. You know, the news is a mixed bag of nuts, but we got some big nuts out there with its big leader, Joe Biden. But,
if you were paying attention, you heard the war between Iran and Israel is on. If you think that that first wave is all that will be, I think you're sorely mistaken. By the way, this is what it sounded like in Iran on Saturday night. Listen. Every one of those swishes is a missile.
They had cruise missiles. They had drones.
They had drones. They had cruise missiles. They had ballistic missiles.
Yeah.
They had the whole mixed bag. First they said 100, then they said 200, and the final tally was over 300.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, amazingly, I think there was one child, and this is not amazing that a child got injured. There was one child and minor damage to a military base.
Yeah.
Go, well, that's because we were just trying to, you know, we just wanted to show force and retaliate. Well, you know, they weren't already attacked by you.
It was a Bedouin child, 7 years old, and God bless her. She's, last I heard, she was in serious condition. They got her to a hospital as quickly as they could, and I think she's going to be okay, but you know, it was touch and go for a while.
God only knows. And, you know, no child should have to go through that. Nobody should have to go through war. But if somebody takes a shot at you, you do need to, you know, I mean, it can't go unanswered. Maybe that's a non-Christian way to look at it, but, you know, you answer that.
Alan Dershowitz was on Newsmax on Saturday night as a guest, and he had this to say. Listen.
Again, as long as the mullahs, the ayatollahs, are in charge of Iran, the war in Gaza will never end. The war in the north in Lebanon will never end. The war in Yemen would ever end. The only solution to this is regime change. There must be a change of regime and a return to an Iran which is democratic. 70% of Iranians want regime change. 90% of Arab states in the region want regime change. Israel wants regime change. America is standing in the way of regime change. That's the only solution. Otherwise, this happens again and again and again, because Iran loses nothing. Iran goes to the bank with its oil revenues, sends out its surrogates, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and this is just another day for Iran. So, yeah, it was a defeat in the sense that Israel was able to repel the attack, but it's not going to deter them. They're going to do it again and again and again. This is an opportunity for regime change. This was a provocation. You know, this wasn't a response to an attack on a consulate. First, it wasn't a consulate.
Right.
Well, Iran attacked the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. The highest court in Argentina on Thursday ruled, after hearing evidence, that was an Iranian attack on the Israeli embassy, not consulate, embassy. 23 people were killed. So Israel had a perfect justification for going after a military base disguised as a consulate. And this can't end simply with a draw, with a tie. There has to be regime change one way or another. And there has to be a destruction of Iran's nuclear arsenal. Otherwise, this is going to happen, but with nuclear weapons behind it. And this is a warning. And I don't think the United States is taking, the world community certainly is not taking this warning seriously.
As long as we have Joe Biden leading this country, we will be feckless.
Now, he said one thing that's interesting, because if you sit there and you Google it, you know, the famous phrase, Google it. Well, Google's not always right, because they taint and doctor the news and change it. He said, if we go after Iran's nuclear arsenal, they say they don't have it and don't want to have it. I've said no for a long time that they do have it. So, and I would say Alan knows, you know, probably a few more things than I do about who has what.
I think Iran, it's been pretty common knowledge that they've been working on nuclear weapons for years now.
But they deny the existence of them. Well, you know,
but they're liars.
Israel denies this.
You know, yeah. You know, and we have a guy in the White House right now who was caught by surprise on Saturday night. He was caught by surprise. He was put in a hard spot, meaning that he had to back Israel because it was a quick turnaround. He had to make a fast decision. But his long-range decision, the one that he's standing by now, is he won't back retaliation on the part of Israel. That's, he said, take the win. He told Israel, take the win. Now, mind you, what Israel did that Biden is calling is a win is Israel defended its people.
They shot down the drone.
99% of the missiles fired were shot down. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's what Biden is calling a win. I think that Iran is emboldened. If they don't do something, it will say to Iran, they can't do something, and Iran will do it again. Okay? So they've got a I think Israel, no matter what Biden has said, and I think Biden is just an embarrassment on the world stage. I don't know whether you remember this. Biden in 2020 was talking about Trump and Trump's stance with Israel. This is during the campaign. I want you, by the way, to listen in 2020 to how articulate Biden sounded in 2020, less than 4 years ago. It's almost as if it's a different person. Listen.
The world has changed because of what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right. The fact of the matter is, there's a lot at stake in this election.
That's Biden. He sounds like a totally different person. Totally different.
The timbre of his voice is different, too. Now, that's something that doesn't usually change. Now, I'm not trying to conspirize here or anything like that, but it would be interesting to take Biden now and that Biden and run it through an analyzer. Any radio engineer has one of those things, and you can sit there and look at it and go, ah, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Just like my voice. I could talk like this, but it's still my voice, and you would see that.
Yeah,
you know,
he has diminished so much over 3.5 years, and if you listen to how he was all over Trump, he was blaming the Middle East position that Israel had on Trump. You know, Trump was saying, show strength in the Middle East, and you won't have an issue. Biden is a complete wimp. He's saying right now to Israel, we're not going to back you in a retaliation. I would say to Biden, then step aside and get out of my way.
Do you think, this is a curveball here, but do you think that the leadership and the youth in Iran understands what they're all about and what they're fighting for?
Run that by me one more time, Bill. The leadership.
Well, I was gonna dance across the continents here, but I was gonna say, do you think in Iran they know exactly what they're doing and what they're fighting for? Leadership.
They were screaming on the streets before the attack to go to war with Israel. They were literally. That's one of the reasons why they think that Iran did what they did, because they were yelling for the leadership to retaliate against Israel because of Israel's attack on the embassy in Syria.
Okay, do they understand the attack and why it was? You know, and
well,
the reason
you'd have to ask them. I don't know. You got to think they do, Bill. Historically, there's been a position that they've held for decades since 1979.
Right. You go to Palestine. You know, do they know the truth? They know where they came from, and they know, and Israel knows what they came from there in the war there. What I was leading to is the United States. Gen Z has no clue as to the history and to anything that's going on there. And they're sitting there going,
you know, you make a very interesting point, and I'll tell you, I think there's a lot. I sometimes wonder whether the young people of today are so caught up in video games and movies, they don't understand the reality of war.
Well, that's exactly my point, is that they're sitting there, they're in their own little world. Generation Z thinks a lot different than we do, and they don't understand that, well, you know, Israel is, you know, they're taking their, you know, the Palestinians' land. I'm going, where'd you learn that? Well, the news. Okay, well, you know, and see, there's a problem there. There's a disconnect because, you know, we have Joe has an agenda. I mean, there's a reason for what he's doing and how he's doing it. He's got an agenda, and it has nothing to do with who's right and who's wrong. It's what Joe hopes to achieve, or the people that pull his strings hope to achieve. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that Israel, right now, if Israel does not retaliate, then it will mean, and I really mean this,
they'll retaliate.
It will mean the end of Israel. If Israel doesn't show strength, see, it's like saying 9/11 happened, but we're not going to do anything. I mean, we went to war because of 9/11. You know, and I, you can't turn around to Israel and say, well, don't do what we did. You know, I think Israel is going to not just attack the drone sites. I think it's going to attack Tehran. It's going to attack the headquarters. It's going to go after the snake's head.
Well, no matter what, and they should, no matter what, you know, over here, the news has got to start quit. You know, they got to quit doing their little editorializing on an agenda, you know, and that they're trying to promote, and just report the news and let people know what the real story is and what the real fight is all about. And at least we need to have education over here, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, we're sticking our nose in stuff, but we're not telling the people don't know.
I think you're going to see within the next, I think today, to be honest with you, you're going to hear about a major retaliation by Israel. They're not going to telegraph it. It's not going to be like we're sending missiles, you'll get them in 8 hours. I think that it'll be fast, and it will be unexpected, and it will be final. I believe Israel this time around is not going to beat around the bush. Think about it. If Israel hadn't had a superior defensive system in place, they would have lost tens of thousands of people. 300 missiles. I mean, if half of them got through, it would have been devastating. Devastating.
Yeah, and they sit there and they protect Iran, saying, well, you know, it was deliberate to do it the way that they did because they just wanted to send the shot across the bow. No, they were hoping that they were going to get, 80 to 90%, you know, kill ratio and hit. Had they done that, this would be an entirely different day.
I listened to some of the pundits say, well, you know, they were telling them that the drones were released and it would take 6 hours for the drones to travel from Iran to Israel. But, you know, they didn't talk about the ballistic missiles that they launched that take 12 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they figured the cruise missiles and the ballistic missiles would go there, do their devastation, and about the time they crawl out from the rubble, then the drones come in and finish the job. Those drones, they were there to clean up, you know.
They were, in my opinion, they were a distraction.
Well, they were, but had the first barrage that went there done what they thought it was going to do, then, you know, the drones would have just gone.
The other thing that I'm telling you is that you don't know with the ballistic missile what's the warhead. You don't know whether there is a nuclear device sitting on a warhead of a ballistic missile. You can't tell by looking at it coming down at you. You know, you got to hope it's not a ballistic missile. I mean, a nuclear warhead. But you don't know. And that's what Israel was facing on Saturday night. They have got to, this has got to be definitive, and it has to be final now with Iran. Iran is, and you know, the thing about Iran is most of the people, from what I've been told, in Iran are very unhappy with the government that's in place. Very unhappy.
And, you know, the government there, it's not going to be easy to take out military targets because they hide in the population. So no matter what they do, there's going to be bloodshed, lives lost, and it's going to look nasty and dirty. But that is what war is about.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Iran fired those shots, they got to know that retaliation is coming, and it's not going to be pretty. And, of course, our news is going to be to say, look at these, what Israel has done and how evil they are. Well, you know, bring this fight down to a personal level. What would you do if your house was attacked by somebody, your family was attacked?
You know, this coward we have in the White House, he says to Netanyahu, I guess this was Saturday night or Sunday, he said, take the win, end quote, after Israel successfully intercepted 99% of the missiles that were coming into its country. He calls that a win. You know, it's like saying to a guy in a fight, you know, you blocked 99% of his punches. You still didn't really knock him out. But the fact that you weren't hurt as badly as you could have been, take the win. That's
not a win.
That's a coward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have.
You're going to call it a draw. So, okay, we're even now. There's no such thing in war.
You know, John Kirby was on the talk shows. He's the former admiral and the waste of space. He's disgusting. You know, he is one of these guys that took the honor and the dignity of his former position as an admiral in the U.S. Navy. He marketed it in politics and became a spokesperson for Biden. You know, he's one of the honchos in the White House. He said this.
There have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people there who chant death to America and death to Israel.
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue, or take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions relief that has come about, or it's not even sanctions relief, but the additional funds that have been made available to Iran due to a sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place, can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime. And the idea that the regime was somehow felt like they were freed up to support these proxies because of that, it just doesn't comport with the facts. But they have been supporting these proxies for many, many years.
And it comports with their language, though, saying we will use this money in the way that we want to use it.
They can't.
That's Shannon Bream on Fox, and that was Sunday. And it was interesting. She's talking about the money that was given to Iran by the United States, the $10 billion or whatever, so many billions of dollars. And what's interesting is this guy, this John Kirby, is saying, well, they can't use it for this, and they can't use it for that, right? No matter what Trump tells you, because everything with this administration is caused by that big, bad, evil Trump, even though Trump had nothing to do with giving Iran money. He stopped them from getting money, but this administration came in and opened its kimono, as they would say, and said, take all the money you want. And that's exactly what they did. But Kirby's saying, well, the agreement was we had with them is they can't spend it on this and they can't spend it on that. And, you know, in Iran, they're going, you're an idiot. We have the money now, you ding dong. Do you think we have to justify how we spend that money to you? Come on.
Trust me. We knew when we gave it to them exactly what they were going to do. This administration lies right in front of your eyes. And if you can't, you know, you can't believe them or trust anything they say. And I'm going to swing this over to Trump and say, if you can't believe them on the money, you can't believe them on their promises and everything they're doing. Oh, I'm gonna sell this oil and I'm gonna buy new oil cheaper, which he hasn't done. He's abandoned. Then can you believe anything that they say about Trump? Bad, 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 or is it a lie, 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 lie? It's a lie. Everything is a lie.
Well, I just think that this administration, because they have no achievements to point to, all they can do is try to make you think that everything that has been done by Trump is bad, you know.
Well, wait, they do have an achievement. Yeah, they really do. Gas prices are up 14%, and they're going to go higher. And that was before the weekend little war there, you know, that started up. And, you know, we don't produce our own oil anymore. So what's going to happen to the prices now as we head into the summer and the holiday season?
George Stephanopoulos,
the back porch.
You know, Kirby went from one place to the other on Sunday. And he talked with Stephanopoulos on Sunday morning, too. And, you know, Stephanopoulos, every so often they say, you know, even a blind squirrel gets a nut. Stephanopoulos actually held Kirby kind of to the fire because Stephanopoulos essentially said to Kirby, hey, the administration said to Iran, don't, meaning don't attack. And how did that work out for him? Listen.
The president also called on Iran not to retaliate, but they did anyway. What does that tell you?
Well, again, what it tells me, as I looked at last night, what it tells me is that we can make good on our commitment to defend Israel. It tells me that Israel does have superior military capability. Just think about the hardware that Iran threw into the sky and how little damage that caused. I mean, that's a real testament to how strong the IDF is.
That weasel completely avoided the question.
Of course.
Well, it tells me that he starts doing his dance. You can almost hear him, you know. You can almost hear him tap dancing as he's trying desperately to figure out how to answer this without answering it. You know, the guy is just an embarrassment. You know, to think he was an admiral, that says to me, boy, this politics. Go ahead.
Would you follow his orders if you were on the deck of a ship and there he is with his helium voice talking to you like that?
Well, you'd have to. You'd have to. He's an admiral.
Oh, yeah, you have to. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. I know you'd.
I mean.
Yeah, I would probably say a rosary after I heard him issue it because this guy is really an embarrassment. He's out there trying to justify the unjustifiable, you know? He's trying to say that Biden is on the right path and that everything Biden is doing is 100%. I constantly remind myself when I hear them talking about military tactics, I constantly remind myself about what these clowns did in Afghanistan.
That's all
you need to remember, you know.
And when's that stuff going to start coming, if it hasn't already, coming back to bite us in the butt?
I think you're seeing a lot of that stuff I do think that some of the equipment we've had is probably in the hands of the Houthis and the Hezbollah and people like that in the Middle East. You know, it's out there, and it's being used by somebody. Trump, he supports Israel. He was speaking on Saturday night at a rally, and he had this to say.
Before going any further, I want to say God bless the people of Israel. They're under attack right now. That's because we show great weakness. This would not happen. The weakness that we've shown, it's unbelievable, and it would not have happened if we were in office. You know that. They know that. Everybody knows that. But America prays for Israel. We send our absolute support to everyone in harm's way. This is an attack that would not have happened. I mean, to think about what we have to go through and the things we put up with the border, with no energy independence, with all electric cars. Would everybody like to buy an electric car for the rest of the year? But we will return the world to peace through strength, and it'll happen very quickly. I will revive American strength abroad, and we will restore American strength at home. We were respected 4 years ago all over the world. Today, we are considered a joke. It's not going to be for long. Believe me, it's not going to be for long.
Mind you, President Trump, today he has his hands full. It's the beginning of Stormy Daniels case. They start picking the jury in New York. He asked for a change of venue, Bill. Do you know how far he asked for the change? How far the venue change was that he asked for?
How far?
People think, well, he asked for a change of venue. What, do you want to go to Buffalo? No. He suggested that they move the case to Staten Island. In the same city, just a different borough, Staten Island. And it would have been much more fair because Staten Island is a more mixed bag of voters, whereas Manhattan, it leans almost solid to the left. Staten Island is more mainstream America.
Well, don't you have the right move a trial for a jury of your peers? In other words, you know, if it's going to be one-sided like that,
But here's the problem, Bill. It's like going to the wolf and asking him, well, do you want to attack this chicken house or that chicken house? The wolf being the judge is the guy who decides, you know? Yeah. He's going to say, I don't want to go to Staten Island. I don't want to have to take the ferry for the next 6 weeks. No. I think I'll just stay right where I'm at. My office is right here. And we'll just have all these good Manhattan jurors, people who I've handpicked, people who will put you in jail, President Trump. We'll have them decide your fate. You know, it's sad. And this is what he's dealing with. Bill, I don't think there's any question they're going to find him guilty.
Oh, I don't either. And it's what they're going to do with that, because then he's got to appeal it. But the stain is there, and they're going to lock him up and show, you know, him in handcuffs. And the next thing will be another picture session, of course, too. It's just going to be, you know.
Yeah.
And they actually think that when they do this, that will be the nail that will be the, you know, nail in the coffin that will make people turn against him. And they tout numbers. Well, people don't. You know, they don't like all the lawsuits against Trump. Well, keep in mind they're all fabricated. And then again, what we pointed out earlier, that everything out of this administration and from the left has been a lie. We've been lied to. So are they lying about this? Yes, they are, because we know already about Stormy Daniels in the case. We know that she's been to the bat four times. She struck out every time, and yet she's at the plate swinging again. Why? Yeah. They weren't foul balls. They were a swing and a miss. And it's been tossed out. Did she write that book? I don't think she did.
And everybody's talking, Bill, about this memo, that statement that she signed and released, that Trump released again last week. And they're saying, you know, this is a slam dunk. Any normal citizen who had this kind of evidence, the case would be dismissed, thrown out. But because it's against Trump, they're going to create a different scenario.
Well, yeah, and, you know, she wrote that letter. Okay, that's a piece of fact. I believe in her book she recants with detail of her time with Trump. Okay, that's a piece of evidence that apparently she actually wrote. And then in interviews going, well, you know, I've been with so many men, I can't remember any one single thing. That's three different stories here, girlie. Which one is the truth?
Like you said, you don't know who wrote the book. You don't know when it was written.
I would hold her accountable on stand. I would want her to start. I would start naming pages, read one sentence, and say, "Finish it for me." No help.
Do you remember how Engeron handled the case a few weeks ago? He literally put a muzzle on the defense attorneys in his courtroom. He told them the questions they can ask and the questions they cannot ask. I've never heard of that before. But he literally edited their questions before they actually had a chance to ask the questions. This is what I think they're going to run into again with this guy Merchan. I think he is going to relish the occasion. He'll seize the moment, as they would say, of embarrassing Trump and of being in the spotlight for a while. You know, his daughter, in case you have not paid attention, his daughter has made $93 million in fundraising against President Trump in her Chicago firm. She raises money for what they call extremist Democrats, like Adam Schiff and people like that, you know, and $93 million because she goes around telling people that her dad is going to be putting President Trump in jail, essentially, you know. So this is what we're dealing with right now, and this is what Trump has to deal with. In the meantime, he goes out in front of a rally, 50,000 people, and they're screaming their support. The guy's got the crowd behind him. I don't know how they put him in jail, Bill. I don't know how they put him in jail without a problem.
Well, when
happening.
They put him in jail, they put America in jail. And are you going to stand for being your person that you know is just and right? is put in jail, because that's ripping out your heart and throwing it in the hooskow.
Well, they don't care about you or I. You heard Biden talk about MAGA people. He calls MAGA people the worst of the worst. He doesn't say they're like regular Republicans. No, they're different MAGA people. Make America great again, you know?
And also, by keeping all these fires going out here and these trials going against Trump, you know, they stand the chance that they could sit there and lock him up. They will say legitimately, but it's illegitimately. But the other thing it does is it takes the pressure off of Biden and his indiscretions and wrongdoings, and there are many.
Yeah.
And his failures in the White House, you know, like you just pointed out earlier back in 2020, you know, where he said, oh, I'm afraid this guy's going to get us into a war. And who in the hell's getting us into a war?
Yeah.
Biden. You know,
yeah.
Who the hell ran us out of gas? Biden. You know, who's ran up the debt? Biden. You know, he's going to sit there and spend how many trillion dollars to sit there and pay off student debt? Well, thank you, Joe. I mean, it's nice to have student debt paid off. You know, wait a minute. I have to pay for it? Why do I have to pay for it? I didn't take out that debt.
And by the way,
Joe's buying boats.
You talk about, you know, our fuel situation. You see where he has decided to ignore refilling the reserve.
So he lied about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to sell it now at this price, and I'm going to buy it back cheaper, which you knew
good and well.
And
then he leans into the microphone.
That was a lie.
He leans into the microphone.
He whispers.
We'll buy it cheaper. We'll get it cheaper. Yeah, right, Joe. Sure.
All right, only in the windmills of his mind.
I wouldn't buy a used car from that man. You know, I mean, if he said it's sunny out, I would literally have to go out and make sure he wasn't lying. You know,
buy an umbrella, because you know the storms are coming, and that's what he's done. Of course, I see all these little posts all over the place that Joe is actually going to drop out on in June.
It's
June
funny 13th. You should say that, Bill. I saw someone say, within 60 days, he's going to drop out.
And who is going to be the shadow candidate?
Well, you know, I don't see them going with Carmella, because I think she has actually lower public polls than Biden. So I can't see that happening. I don't think Michelle has the long-term stamina to make it, because I think when they start questioning her about her background, she'll have to answer honestly, and I don't think she can do that. So I don't know, Bill. Who do you think?
I don't know. I don't know that he's going to drop out, or something's going to happen to where they freeze the elections and then he can step aside and they bring in somebody new.
Somebody but, you know, old. I just can't figure out who the Democrats are going to put in as a replacement. I just don't see Michelle Obama having the popularity that a lot of people think she has.
Still people that falsely believe in Barack, and you know he was a failure. But
yeah, but he can't.
You know, they're going to say, "But oh, well, he's already done his two terms." But you know, we're this close to losing the House, and could they change something to allow somebody to come in and do a third term?
Well, I don't know. God, I you know, you want to say no, they can't do that because it's against the law, but so many things have been against the law that they've ignored.
Student debt forgiveness is against the law.
The Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that, President Biden. He said, yeah, watch me. So they're ignoring a lot of the stuff. Who would they have as a possible? Do you think Gavin Newsom has the? Hey, Gavin Newsom may have the physical look that they're looking for, but the guy is an empty parking lot. You know, he's a numbskull. Okay,
you know, real estate. Speaking of Gavin Newsom, you've got mass layoffs coming and going on now, and coming more in California because of his mandatory minimum wage thing, and there's layoffs everywhere in the fast food industry, but it's rippling all through. All the workforce is there. People have been moving out in droves. San Francisco, in 2019, you could have bought a nice two-bedroom, two-bath condo there for about $1.3 million, which is enormous, really, for a condo. But okay, let's just, that's San Francisco. Now, when you sell it, you're going to get about $625,000, down over 50%. The national average of prices dropping because of Bidenomics working so well is about 4.8%. So you own property. It ain't worth what it was when Biden came in because it was worth a hell of a lot more when Trump was in, and interest rates were down, so you could sit there and buy something and buy something nice.
They're saying now, interest rates are going to go up to 12%. I mean,
see, that just sounds like it's on purpose because there's we got to keep this, the foot on the pedal or the pedal on the metal, whatever it is. Either way, we're going to keep this inflation going because it's doing wonders for the economy. No, it is not. It is destroying the American dream. You can't afford to buy a house, refinance a house. You can't even afford to sell it because you're going to lose what you got in it and pay taxes on what you got, even though it was a loss.
Yeah, they actually, they try to spin it, no matter how bad it is, they try to spin it as being intentional and something good for the country.
A turd is a turd.
They expect
you can't spin it any other way.
They expect you, the listener, the public, John Q. Public, they expect you to be stupid and not realize how they have screwed up our country. They can tell you. They can tell you how, it may look like manure and smell like manure and it may taste like manure, but that's not manure. No, that's pudding.
Let me see you eat your pudding.
Yeah, well.
Because I'm sure as heck not going to eat that pudding. I'm not going to smell it. I don't want to be around it.
This is how there are so many, God bless you. I have friends who are to the left, and they are to the left because they don't pay attention to politics like we do. They do other things. They go to movies. They follow musicians. They do a ton of different things, but pay attention to the critical things that are affecting their world. Okay, and when they do that, their instant reflex is, "Oh, I'm Democrat," and Trump is bad. Biden is good. I think. God bless you, man. Are you this naive? Have you not taken the time in your life to look at the world and see who's doing what to whom? I mean, come on. It's time to wake up. Wake up and look around. But they'll tell you, oh, no. I listened to this guy, and I liked him until this weekend. I think his name is Alan Richson. He's an actor. He plays Reacher, I believe, on TV. He's built like a brick. I mean, the guy has got a great physique. He's a pretty good actor, and the series is really good. And I liked it until this weekend when when he talked about how Christians are numbskulls for following this pedophile pervert Trump. And I thought to myself, you are an idiot. You've been spending too much time reading your lines and not paying attention to what's going on in the world. You've been pumping too much iron to pay attention to what's happening in your world. This is Hollywood, folks. Hollywood, these are people who their whole life evolves around make-believe, okay? I mean, I love, for the longest time, I'll tell you, my wife will tell you, friends will tell you, there was a time in my life I would have preferred to have been a director out in West Coast because I was into that kind of thing. I directed locally. I directed TV commercials, even though I had a career in broadcasting on the air. But had I had my choice, had I had a decision, I probably would have ended up on the West Coast directing television or film. That's what I wanted to do because I was caught up in that as a young man. It is magical. It is magical, but it is also, folks, make-believe, okay? And the people who involve themselves 24/7 in that world deal in the world of make-believe all the time. Mm-hmm. Your favorite actors out there who you say, oh, I love that guy. He's such a good actor. He spends his whole day pretending
to be something else,
to be living in a different world, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is the guy. So I look at this guy, Richson, who I like him. I probably will still watch the show because they do a good job on the show, and his character has got some cojones. But he has got to take a little time and re-examine the world he lives in, not his character, because this guy is not paying attention. You know, he calls Christians. He made a comment about Catholicism. I will never follow Catholicism. He must have been a Catholic. I can't follow Catholicism when they have these bishops and priests and stuff going after little kids. Well, hey, listen, pal. That's fine. I agree with you. I think pedophile priests and pedophile bishops, they deserve one kind of a result. They deserve to be kicked out of their faith, and they deserve to be punished for what they did because
right.
They're evil people, okay? But you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. A lot of good priests, a lot of good bishops out there who are doing their job and doing it right, okay? That you cannot say everybody is bad. You know, my dad used to say, my dad was a, God bless him, he was a smart guy. He used to say, you can't fix something by leaving it. That was my dad. That was a John Harringtonism, okay? He was a great guy. And he was a graduate of Brown, and he was a combat veteran in World War II. He had a resume that wouldn't quit. And as I start speaking about him, I hear a music box in the background, which says to me, that must have been my dad.
Might have been, because this thing was set on Do Not Disturb. And
hey, Dad. Anyway, he said, and it was, I love it. You can't fix something by leaving it. And I thought to myself, you know, that's actually pretty profound, Dad. You're right. You really can't fix it by abandoning it, you know? And that is how I feel about, look it. No one in any religion, you know, can say that theirs is perfect, because as long as religions are run by human beings, there will be the bad ones in it, okay? I'm talking about every faith, Baptist, Congregationalist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Episcopalian, they've all got them. You know, they've got rabbis in Judaism that are bad guys. They've got some wonderful, wonderful people in all of them, you know, and that's how faith is. But anyway.
But man is inherently corrupt, and so when you have man in charge of something, you're going to run into somebody that is going to swing things left all the time.
Yep. Have there been some terrible pedophile priests? Let me put it to you this way. I'll give you from personal experience. When I was 7 years old, I went to a place called Cathedral Camp. When I was a kid, and my sports coach was the first nationally known pedophile priest. I won't mention his name, but he was actually identified on 2020 by Geraldo, and we'll leave it at that, okay? But that's how, now whether he did anything to me, I was too young to probably even remember it, but I do remember him. I do remember him, so he left an indelible mark, but I don't remember anything that, thank God, that was of a sexual nature. But you know what I do remember about this guy? I remember that when I was a kid, and I was in, they had the dormitory at Cathedral Camp was like a barracks, bed after bed after bed, and his room was down at the end of the dormitory, and I remember hearing giggling, like with little kids in his room, and a light on, and when we were all supposed to be going to sleep. So God knows. So I know they're out there. I know there are bad people who do bad things, but they're also wonderful people. You can't blame everybody on the badness of a select few, if you know what I'm saying. Okay.
Well, we do that. We have, we have a tendency to do that. You know, if one's corrupt, they're all corrupt. Well, then you know what? Look at the media and look at the look at Hollywood and all the pedophiles there. Look at politics and all the pedophiles there. Look at Joe Biden and all the hair sniffing going on. And so, you know, the guy that plays Reacher. I mean, he lives in a world of pedophilia and all kinds of perversion. So how dare he come out and point a finger at Christianity or anything other than that?
That's a very good point, Bill. He's in a profession that is surrounded by perversion.
Yeah.
You know?
And so what are his perversions that he's not talking about? Because, you know, a lot of people that point fingers are, you know, they're putting you under the microscope to keep the spotlight off of themselves.
Yeah, to divert attention.
That's, so, I mean, it makes me wonder about the guy now. You know?
Well, I know exactly how you feel. Getting back to the topics of the day, and I didn't mean to go off on a tangent there, but sometimes...
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
That's why I stepped back. I just let him go.
He turned his mic off, folks, and just leaned back like, okay, he's on a rant.
I don't smoke, but I sat there and I was going through the motions as if it was a...
Yes, you
I
did.
I drank a beer, it was not a real beer, but, you know.
So, Bill, are you like me? Do you think that the war is going to continue today? Do you think that Israel's going to attack?
Well, absolutely. I think they got the bombers in the bullpen or whatever. You know, they're ready to go. I mean, I would have thought that if it didn't happen last night because mm-hmm. or yesterday afternoon, it'll happen this afternoon because that'll be 48 hours.
Yeah.
And it'll be the cover of darkness. And just like when we went in with the Gulf War and everything, when we brought in the stealth bombers, it was all done in the darkness of night because we have the avionics, and so do they, that we can see anything and we can do anything and you can't see us. And don't think for a minute they don't have that. They also have, that thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene touted that one woman said, oh, yeah, she's pulling stuff out of her rear end. The laser.
They do have that. I think they call it, what's it called, the Adam something or other, or the David, or any. You're right. The slingshot, I think they called it.
Either way, they got some tools that they can do some pretty precise, devastating things.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be surprised if there's a scorch mark in Iran, you know, tomorrow when you get up.
Yeah.
But then again, it's
by
coming.
The way, the reason why I ask you is I don't know whether you remember this, but you and I were speculating on Friday's show about the weekend and what was going to happen, and we telegraphed what happened. We telegraphed that there was going to be an attack in the Middle East. And maybe it wasn't a hard thing to telegraph because all signs were leaning in that direction. But we were right on the money. We hit it. And I am afraid that when Biden says, take the win, Joe, sit down and have yourself a nice little glass of cup of coffee or something and just sit on the sideline because the big boys are going to handle the problem in the Middle East. I really believe that. I think that Israel is going to go in there, and this is not going to be a tit-for-tat, as they would say. I believe this is going to be a hammer, you know, approach to the Middle East. I think that Israel is going to go in there, and they're going to figure, okay, we have one chance now to end this, and we're going to end this. And that's where I think we are right now. I think it is going to be brutal. It is going to be final, and I think... one of two things are going to happen. Either Iran is going to recover and retaliate, and it's going to be the beginning of World War III.
Well, right next to Iran is who? Iraq.
Yeah, but that's true. And we have bases still in Iraq, you know. We still have...
Yeah, but, you know, who's Iraq going to side with?
Well, a lot of the rebels are in Iraq now. A lot of the Iranian rebels are actually...
So we're going to have our hands full. We got our hands full with the Ukraine. We're going to be there with our hands full.
And, you know, Hezbollah from Lebanon is going to attack Israel, you know, from the north. That's going to happen.
One thing...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the one thing I picked on earlier was Gen Z, but the one thing that Gen Z knows, they see it very clearly, is that we, with the open borders, yes, Joe, that voting base that you're after, they realize that the borders are open, too, and that there are terror cells here. And they probably, some of these kids probably know somebody that knows somebody or that is part of it, and they know it's going to happen. They're just waiting
Bill,
for that shoe to
fall. What is
going to
happen when something devastating happens in this country? It's going to happen, Bill. It is, I you know what's going to happen. Everybody... Everywhere is talking about it. We all know it's going to happen because Biden has allowed it to happen.
So what could it be? Are they going to, you know, when you look at our, we've got an exhausted fuel supply. So you've got nothing there. We got a very vulnerable power grid. And I think I was relenting about, you know, the way things are set up. But people don't know how vulnerable and corrupt our power grid is in what, you know, it's
yeah,
a problem.
I'm afraid, and I hope that I'm wrong, but I keep thinking that these suitcase nukes that we've been talking about for decades, I think there are a handful of them in this country.
Well, think about this.
And I think they're gonna send them off. Oh, either that or dirty nukes. You know what a dirty nuke is?
Yeah, just get some of the radioactive material. You can get it from
hospitals.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
But think about this, because there have been a few occasions where bombs have been set off at the doorstep here recently, and nobody talks about it, of churches. So let's just sit there. You know, when you're talking about people from Iran and Hezbollah, there's a holy war. They do not believe in our Judeo-Christian values. Therefore, that holy war, they got to get rid of the infidels. Just say for an instant here that all these terror cells go, okay, in all 50 states, let's go to the cities and simultaneously, while people are in church, hit the biggest churches. What would that do to us? And they're
inside,
would
be devastating,
so we
though.
Can't. Where would we, who would we, how would we retaliate against that? Would the media even care?
Let's just, all right, that's an interesting thought, but I think that puts them, that makes them too vulnerable. I think you could do something as simple, God forgive me for even suggesting this, but and maybe this is the writer in me, I don't know, but you could very easily plant a suitcase nuke in the subway systems in Boston, New York, Chicago. You would have no vulnerability as far as...
Well, maybe they think that's what's going to happen. Do you remember just, it was just weeks ago, where they started looking at New York going, well, you know, we're going to place these, you know, because of violence in New York, they wanted to have these armed guards, military, basically, people stationed in basically Manhattan, in the subways there. Now, the only reason for that is because violence is actually all over New York City. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I was talking to a young girl that was 17 yesterday, and she goes, yeah, I just got back from New York. And she goes, I hated it. You know, it's there's so much violence and nastiness there. And this is a loud, obnoxious kid that's going, I don't ever want to go there again because of how bad it was. This is essentially... A teenage kid that's been a teenager, but, you know, is pretty, you know, mischievous themselves, and they're going there. They were shaken from it.
When I was a kid, when I was a young disc jockey, Bill, New York was exciting, vibrant, alive, safe, you know, for the most part.
Back to my point is that we put military personnel under the guys that, well, we're keeping, you know, trying to keep the violence down, the crime activity. Maybe they know something, or they have a hunch what you just said, the script writer and you, is true, that they're going to find somebody with their detectors that's coming in with a dirty nuke.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And let me tell you something. If they're coming in with a dirty nuke, they're probably thinking they're going to get their 14 whores and all that when they go to heaven. And 14 virgin whores, if that makes sense. But
they don't even have to do that. They can put the device in some side tunnel somewhere in the subway. They could then leave the city. They could then
they're carrying it, they think they're going to go straight to heaven when they do it. If they see that they're onto them, they could trigger that bomb right then, right there, right now, and that's it.
Sure, they could. Yeah,
and they're around. You know, they're going to be eviscerated anyway. So what do they care?
You could put it in Central Park in one of the. Storage sheds in Central Park. You could put it in any number of places. That's the thing, that we are so vulnerable because we're a free society, you know, and they're not very big anymore. And the thing that you have to remember is if we're backing Israel, and we are, you know, they're going to want to bring us to our knees and keep us occupied so we can't spend a lot of time paying attention to the Middle East. If we are worried about fallout and the destruction of major cities in our country, we're not going to be thinking too much about fighting in the Middle East. This is how they're not stupid, folks. But you know who is stupid is the guy in Washington who literally just waved these people into our country.
Because, yeah, he's an idiot. You're right. And he's going to continue to do it. And don't be surprised if he doesn't get off of his lounging chair on the beach today to get up to say something.
Yeah. Well, Bill, you know, he has the damage is done. We have got I heard we had 45,000 known military-age Chinese men in this country, illegals. Mm-hmm. 45,000. That's the ones we know about.
Well, they're here. Look, sooner or later, something's going to happen. And I know our power grid's at stake. I would have water that you've personally, you know, purified or get stock it because... What happens if they go in and they don't blow something up? They go to the reservoirs that have that and dump something in there that doesn't get filtered out in the system that poisons everybody.
You might want to get some iodine pills, folks. Iodine pills. You can get them on Amazon, okay? You may say, why do you need it? Apparently, the fallout will destroy your internal organs if you don't have enough iodine in your system. But if you buy these iodine pills, it will help you. It will help you survive a nuclear attack. God forgive me for even thinking about this, you know. But this is where we are. This is what this clown has done to our country. Mm-hmm. He's put us in a situation where I fear for my grandkids. I fear for my children, you know. And it's because this evil son of a bee in the White House has. With a smile on his face, with defiance in his eyes, he has waved these people in. He talked about it when he was running for the presidency. Listen.
There are Muslim communities, but African communities, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, and the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in that black box, an unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
You know, you'd like to say he's just a stupid SOB, but he's not. This is planned, you know, an unrelenting stream of strangers is what he should have said. An unrelenting stream of people we haven't vetted. We don't know who they are. It's not a matter of immigration, Biden. It's not a matter of immigration because we're all the product of immigrants. But it's a matter of control, of making sure the people you invite into your house are good people who will do good things for your house, won't take over your house or burn your house down. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is I'd like to say he's just a numbskull. But there's something more sinister, something more evil about this man, and it's sad. It's sad, and all you can do right now, because the damage has been done, when I hear President Trump say we're going to have the biggest mass deportation, I applaud him, I smile, but I think, please tell me how you're going to get rid of 10 to 15 million strangers. We don't even have enough airplanes to get that many people out of the country. You know, but I like his attitude. He's thinking correctly anyway, but I think that this guy Biden has done irreparable damage, and you can only hope that we don't pay any consequences for what he's done.
It's like gaining weight. You know, it doesn't take long to gain it, but it sure takes a hell of a long time to lose it.
I can relate to that, Bill.
The damage he's done in 4 years is probably going to take us a decade to get out of minimum.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, you know, he keeps pushing this Green New Initiative and the EV cars, and then they keep having to pull back on it after he goes and reinitiates it because there's a problem every corner you turn. And
do you remember that electric bus company that he put billions of dollars in?
Oh yeah, that was
They went bankrupt about a month ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's that's his legacy. They talk about his legacy, Joe's legacy. Let's talk about his real legacy. What's going on? You're living through it right now. I mean, I don't know that you're going to be. I don't even know if you can afford to buy a house anymore. The American dream, it's gone. He's screwed it over good. And that's Joe for you. That's his legacy. Gas prices are through the ceiling. His legacy. We're about to go to World War III. And he was accusing Trump of that when he was campaigning in 2020. Yeah. That's Joe's legacy. You know, I mean, and on and on.
Where does it go? Where does it go? I mean, like you said, is the 48 hours is today. 48 hours from Saturday is today.
And I think Israel knows that. They're not going to pull that trigger. They might even sit here and wait and, go an extra, make it 72 hours that they hit it.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden do it. Because if they don't do it this afternoon, the news will be, I guess Israel has thought twice and they're doing this. And they'll sit back in their leisure chairs going, Joe, another win for it. Boom!
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah.
Tell me it ain't Joe.
No, Joe's down in Delaware on a lawn chair down on the beach. Anyway, I guess that's about it. We have had an interesting program. There's a lot of things happening in our world. It's scary. It's scary for us all, folks. If you are a little nervous, trust me, you're not alone. We're all feeling the stress of what's happening in our world right now. We've never been so close to a world war. It's as simple as that. This is the closest in my lifetime I've been to World War III, and I lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Cuban Missile Crisis when I was a kid, that wouldn't have been World War III. That would have been an abrupt ending to civilization
life
as we knew it. But this.
Well, now that's interesting. You talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Probably people don't understand. There were Soviet missile bases in Cuba, right there at our back door.
Yeah,
take 20 minutes for a missile to get here. No, it would be here in seconds.
Yeah,
from the launching point of Cuba, and we would have retaliated, but there would have been no world left. How do you know that we don't have a Cuban missile crisis of sorts right now that's set up and ready to go in the United States to take us out?
That's the scary part about what we were just talking about. With the Cuban missile crisis, like you said, it would be a matter of minutes between the time they launched and the time they hit major American cities. And we knew that. But here's the difference now with the size of the nuclear bombs and the devices they may have gotten into this country, it's not a matter of delivery. They may already be here. It's a matter of implementation.
You think about the size of the ballistic missile and, the warhead inside. And relatively speaking, from World War II days into now, the warhead is smaller, more compact, but yet it is, triple the devastation or can be. Now, you're talking dirty nukes, but somebody could actually put together something or bring all the materials here, refine it, put it together, and build a very intelligent nuke that could be in a suitcase.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
That would be big enough, and we would be grounded. There would be a big crater where that thing was, and the city around it would be gone.
You put it in the trunk of a car, and you drive it to any parking lot in any major city in the world.
A rental car,
yeah, and just leave it and walk away.
Boy, there,
and you, and you detonate it with a cell phone.
Or when somebody goes to inspect the car, they open the trunk and poof.
Yep.
Now
we're supposed to have a normal day. Ay. Anyway. This one's been interesting, Bill. I got to tell you, a little depressing because we live in depressing times, and I I worry about what's going to happen today. I worry about what's going to happen over the next few days. But just say a little prayer. Have your faith in God. And just hope that he's paying attention to what's happening down here and that he keeps us safe and out of the way of such evil, you know.
Right.
Anyway, I should remind you, if you want to contact us, our website has all the contact information. Just go to www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. And it'll take you to our website, and we have our phone number and our email addresses. You can contact us there. You can even access some of our old shows.
So it's all there for you.
It's there. I know the guy who put it together.
I understand. He's a real piece of work.
No, he's actually a pretty smart guy. He's a pretty.
No, he's a piece. He's a dumbass. No. He's a piece of work.
It was Bill, folks. Anyway, listen. Every show at this time for our new listeners, we should point out that we have a unique closing done by a very talented man. So, without any further ado, we'll demonstrate.
He called in sick today, so I guess I'll stand in for him, but. I think in the words of that guy you're talking about, hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.